Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior Song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am good. It is September, which means that even though it is almost 90 degrees here in D.C., I am defiantly drinking hot beverages and wearing warm socks because it is fall.
Okay.
And that means that it's the best time of the year because it's almost Christmas.
Oh, but wouldn't Christmas be the best time of the year?
No, because now I have 3 months to look forward to Christmas. And in between, I get Halloween and Thanksgiving, which are my two other favorite holidays. Also, to be clear, I don't actually celebrate Christmas. I just like all of the festive things around the city.
You like the buildup to the buildup.
Yeah, exactly. Because the actual thing is nothing for my family, especially because this year it falls on Hanukkah. Christmas falls over Hanukkah. So there's really going to be no Christmas celebration. But I like to see all of the garlands and baubles and hear the Christmas music that I'm not sick of because I don't know any of these songs.
Well, there you go. We are here to talk about the American Ninja Warrior Vegas Finals Part 2, Stage 1, Episode 14.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's very succinct.
Yeah. And I have some problems.
Okay, you've got qualms. Episode.
Yeah, I still like the course. I do. There were some good moments, but I had some problems with some of the choices made.
Okay, do you want to talk about broad themes now, or do you want to just address them as they come up?
We'll get them as they go here.
Okay.
I can say first and foremost because he deserves the spotlight here. Chris Wilczewski. Completely absent from the episode, from both episodes.
Oh, yeah.
He unfortunately went down on the double dipper, but we saw nothing of Chris Wilczewski.
Yeah, he wasn't even... Was he montage? I don't remember seeing him
at all.
Not
even montage. Just completely not even in the episode. It's the first time that's ever happened to him.
That's wild.
Yeah.
But what could possibly be the reasoning? They made such a big deal out of him last year.
They did. And then nothing here.
Better get to almost dying again, Chris.
I don't think we saw his run in qualifying or finals either.
No, we didn't. Because I remember asking if he was competing this year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening there.
You've got to have another near death experience.
I guess so. So that's let's get that off my chest real quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Apart from that, though, we will get into the course here. Obviously, it's the same course as last time. Archer Alley, followed by Spin Your Wheels, Double Dipper, Jumping Spider, Tire Run, Warped Wall, Diving Boards, and the Twist and Fly. Tire Run, big problem here. Last time, it seemed to be the Diving Boards. This episode, it seemed that Tire Run was really the make or break point.
Yeah, I guess they like to separate it out into sort of like one problem obstacle per episode as sort of like a focal point to build the montages or whatever around. Do you think that's true?
Probably. I mean, it's like,
from a storytelling perspective,
it's a theme of, they kind of queued it up with Najee last episode and then it was like, it's a problem.
Yeah. They also didn't have an exactly equal number of finishers, even though they could have.
Yeah.
Between the two episodes, it was 12 and then 14, I think.
Well, that's probably true to form that, the back half of the athletes probably are more successful than the front half.
Yeah, but they don't air this in the order that they run, right?
No, not necessarily. But I think, overall, still try to have that sort of basic theme.
Yeah, I guess this episode had a lot more, not a lot more, but it had a larger percentage of like the big stars that everybody's looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same sort of like rhythm that they have within the episodes where they start off with not many people finishing. And then by the end, like lots of people are finishing and they're montaging finishers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we start the episode with Caleb Bergstrom, babyface. Yes,
of the Baby Bergies fame.
Yeah. He says people think he's 14.
Okay.
I mean, they see his face and they hear him talk.
What is he, like 19?
Don't
sure.
remember.
Yeah. He's like 19, whatever he is. It's a lot like 19, which is basically 14.
Yeah. I feel like if he was older than 19, he probably would have said an age older than 14.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he looks that young. This was another thing where they did like the joint package of him and his sister, and then so that they only had to show one of their runs.
Yeah. And he did pretty well. I mean, he got all the way to the diving boards before going down. And really, the only person I remember falling on the diving boards in terms of their full run. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I am not sad to be losing the Baby Bergies. I wish that they would stop doing acro in their packages.
That'd be a nice thing to do. Then we had Nick Hansen. Nick Hansen here. They talked about how he has timed out the last like three seasons or so, and that it's going to be a tricky one.
Yeah, he and Jesse LeBrec have the same curse on them, where they like definitely can finish, but just are just short every time.
And he's doing well. He's doing pretty well until the diving boards, where he just kind of like face plants into it, has to like hold on and then get up, and spends a lot of time getting back up on the diving board and getting off of it, which means that he is short on time by the time he gets to twist and fly. You know, that's been in his head that he's worried about time, and so he kind of rushes the twist and fly transfers and unfortunately will fall on the cargo net.
Well, there's not many diving boards in Alaska probably. It's understandable.
Then we got to Taylor Amon, who was inspired by Jesse Graff and Meghan Martin to become a fitness model.
Yeah. And because she was a pole vaulter, it's the natural pole vaulter fitness model pipeline.
Yeah. Good on Taylor Amon.
Yeah. But she's actually like super tall and like probably could have been a model anyway.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like a natural progression for her.
Doesn't even need to be fitness model, to be honest.
No, like, you could just be a regular model. Meghan Martin, 5'3", probably, like, found her niche there. Taylor Amon's, like, what, 5'7", 5'8"?
Yes. Just beautiful. Yeah.
All right. She could be a Rockette. You have to be at least 5'7" to be a Rockette. I've checked. Rockettes, they're the girls that stand in the line and kick. You know,
they like to line up and kick.
They perform at like Radio City for like Christmas. They do like kick lines.
Man, I really thought I'd know.
No, Google Rockettes. it's a thing. But you have to be at least 5'7" to even audition, which is pretty messed up, if you ask me. Also, the first question that comes up is how much does a Rockette make a year? They do not make very much.
They'll need to be the same height. That's the problem here.
No, they don't need to be the same height.
All the images I'm seeing are very similar heights here.
It goes from, well, that's because if you're a minimum of 5'7", there aren't that many girls that are much taller than that.
Well, I mean, if they were varying in heights, I feel like the effect would be ruined.
Well, so the way that kick lines work is the shortest girls go on the end and then tallest in the middle. So because it's a gradual change, it doesn't look too different from the audience, especially because they're on a stage and the audience isn't.
They should intentionally get somebody really tall in the middle and then slowly go down on the sides.
That's, I think, what they do.
No.
That's the same thing that I'm saying.
No, I'm saying they should get like somebody that's like 6 foot in the middle and then like go an inch down all the way down until like you got to somebody who's like 5 foot.
Yeah, I agree, because then I could be a Rockette.
There you go. Taylor, you know, I was hoping she'd do well here, but not quite the case. She was doing well up until she gets to the jumping spider. Very solid run, but she overshoots the trampoline and her feet just go straight through and she goes down into the water.
Yep, easy mistake. We've seen a lot of people, especially rookies, have trouble with trampolines.
Yep.
So I believe in her being like one of these women that we really keep an eye on in a couple of years. I mean, we didn't really have Jessie Graf on our radar her first year either.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay. Well, I just mean she wasn't like the one the first time she went out there.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Sorry.
Jessie Graf in the chicken costume. I was all about it.
Oh, wow. I actually forgot about the chicken costume.
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess I wasn't really wrapped up in the American Ninja Warrior media at the time.
Next up was Casey Suhaki, the original guy with a grandpa, and his grandpa is there.
Yes. And you know that you have to have your grandpa there as a good luck charm if you have a grandpa.
Exactly. Because he is going to finish the course. He talks about how he built a house with his wife.
Yeah, he says that we're like the somebody and somebody of ninja, and I don't know who he was talking about.
I remember that, and I also didn't know who he was talking
about.
Yeah,
it must be like an HGTV couple or something.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah, they build things. That's fun. She's like a designer, and he's a builder, which is a really nice marriage.
There you go. Perfect for when you want to build a house.
Or a ninja course in your backyard.
Yeah, that too. Very slow and steady through the course. He's got about 45 seconds left when he gets to the top of the warped wall and manages to finish with just 4 seconds to spare. So this seems to be just the right pace. If you don't make any mistakes and you're just going slow and steady, you probably want to be going a little faster, though, in case you do make a mistake. But overall, he finishes the course and he'll be on stage 2.
We'll see his grandpa again.
Yes. Then we get to Garrett Lamb, who face plants on the spin your wheels dismount. We didn't see too many people fall on spin your wheels, though a lot of people do get hung up on it. But he did. He fell.
Yeah, it's the only obstacle that takes a long time that we've seen here, other than the twist and fly.
I think a lot of people that you just kind of like need to get used to the path of the wheel before you feel comfortable, because I feel like a lot of the time, like, people could jump off, but they didn't know that they could have jumped off, and so they have to go again. And so,
yeah, I imagine it's really hard to tell from up there.
Yeah. Then we got Caitlin Bergstrom, who did like a back fall from the double dipper when she went to make the landing. She kind of fell backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a backflip. It was not a backflip.
No, it was
she
just
fell backwards.
Yes. If that's a backflip, then I can do a backflip.
Yeah, we saw who did we see? Was it Brett Sims do like an actual backflip off of the spin your wheels or something? That's a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Scott Behrens, who rolled right off the course on Tire Run,
because he was like roll tide or something. I think he's from Alabama.
Sure.
Okay. It was an Akbarism.
And then we got to Tiana Weberly, who's going to take on the course here. And she's doing pretty well. She was very good on spin your wheels, actually. And she gets to the double dipper, and Akbar is like, oh, well, here we go. Take that right just like a roller coaster. Yeah, put your seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something you need to do on a roller coaster.
And she did.
It's very important.
She put her seatbelt on. She got through.
Yeah, good for her. Probably that obstacle would be a lot easier if there was a seatbelt.
I imagine so. Although, it'd be hard to take it off.
It's another obstacle.
Yeah. You see Flex on the sidelines saying, like, go! You gotta go! Because she's hesitating a lot on Tire Run.
Yeah, literally every time they cut to, like, the ninja's friends in the crowd, it's always just them saying, like, all right, go! Mm-hmm. Get going, move faster!
So she ends up getting onto the tire, and she kind of, like, moves forward and then back, and then she's kind of like back and forth on the tire, but she does manage to get through it, but not without having wasted a decent amount of time, and she's only got 35 seconds left at the warped wall when she gets there, which means that she is not going to have enough time to finish even if she does get up the wall, which she unfortunately does not.
Yeah, obviously it didn't matter for Tiana because she wasn't going to finish anyway, but the warped wall is really just like, this girl is 5'3", and like there are people who you can see. I know that I mentioned this next week, but there are people that you can see have bad technique, especially like we'll see like Big Red later, like
literally
stumbles
the next
on
one.
It, and,
yeah.
And we'll just grab it. And it's the one obstacle that is like so ridiculously disproportionately unfair to small people.
Yes. So she is going to fail on the wall here, and that's going to be it for Tiana Weberly. But we do get Seth Rogers, a.k.a. Big Red. He's up next. We see footage of him in the stands watching Josh Levin when he is, I think we already got all of this before. I think this is one of those repeat packages. we see he's been training since he was 13. It's cool, but I remember seeing it like either earlier this year or whenever it was. But Brian Kretsch and Josh Levin there cheering him on from the sidelines.
Yeah. Josh Levin made it to Vegas.
Yes. I pointed that out. Yes. Last time.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't listen when you talk.
Clearly. Seth Rogers, he's 6'3", and that is going to help him a bit here on the course. He gets hung up on spin your wheels. He takes time on that transfer on the tire run, then slips on the tire and barely holds on with that very large frame, and then trips up the warped wall. As you said, he basically just like trips on it and then grabs, but he's tall enough that he's able to get up, then is able to speed through the rest of the course and manages to complete the course, gives a thumbs up on his buzzer press.
Yeah, not the cleanest run we've ever seen, but good for him.
Yes. Then we had Matt Dolce, who rolled onto the course on his one wheel, which I didn't know was a thing that you
What's
called
a one wheel.
It's just there was like platforms for his feet and then fat tire.
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah. A one wheel to me would just be a unicycle.
Right. But he fell on the two wheels of spin your wheels.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, he probably only fell on one of those wheels.
Well, who knows?
Unless he was like holding both of them and then fell.
I mean, do you need to be touching both of them to have fallen on both of them?
I think, yeah.
What if you jump from one to the other and fall?
Yeah, then that's falling on both. But I think he fell on the dismount.
Probably. Then it was Julius Ferguson, a.k.a. Black Jules, the rapper. And he got rocked by the fourth obstacle.
Get it? Because Jules.
Or because rap and rock are both genres of music.
Maybe, but I think probably because a jewel is like a rock.
Mm.
And by like a rock, I mean is a rock.
I don't know. I feel like it could go either way.
Maybe it works on multiple levels.
Yeah. They were not super confident about the two wheel one because it was only one wheel. So they had to really double down the next one, make it available on all levels. Then was Dustin Rocco, who is the RV ninja.
And, well, he could get rocked.
Well, he didn't. He just fell on the cargo net.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we get to Brian Burke, the Burkinator.
Yes.
And
I remember him.
Yes, we got a package from him, and we saw his mom with her hair.
And his mom's sister that has the exact same hair.
Who also has the hair. Yeah, that was like when Jamie Ron is running the course or something like that, when like everybody has green hair to support him. That's what it felt like. But I think it was actually just their hair.
No. Yeah. They look great.
Yes. And so he is going to take on the course here, doing pretty well until the double dipper, where he actually gets too much momentum on it. And the bar, he's going so fast that the bar comes off of the second dipper and he just kind of slams against the dismount pad and falls back.
Yeah, but amazing rookie year.
Yes. And we're going to see a lot of other people have the same problem as Brian Burke here. So the way that they handle it is if they're going too fast, you'll see them pull the bar down onto the track. And so he didn't do that. He just kind of let the bar fly forward. And so that's probably a mistake that he will correct in the future if he comes back.
Hey, he said that he'll be back.
Yes. Then we have Sean Bryan.
God, this is so depressing.
And obviously, right away, I was like, this is too early for Sean Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, right from the start, I had a terrible feeling beyond just like that he was early. Even just like the way he walks up, I literally wrote, He's looking really ominous walking up to the start line. Like,
what do you mean?
He like walks up. He looks super serious. And like, he's got kind of like bags under his eyes. Like, I almost like he looks tired. Yeah. Like something looks wrong here. And there was no package. And I was just like, oh man, this is just like, this feels weird. And he's going through the course and he's doing pretty well as he does. But like, I the whole time I just felt like something felt off. And then he jumps into the jumping spider and, dislocates his shoulder because he really slammed in on the right side, because his jump was a little off to the left. And so, he immediately, you know, he takes one sort of step forward in the jumping spider and just immediately has to let go with his right arm. And he can't move from there because it's completely dislocated. He has to climb out of the jumping spider. And I was just like, wow, like I wrote like that one just felt bad from the jump. Like the whole time I just felt like something felt off. And now I'm even more annoyed about the Angry Birds because Sean should have had a safety pass because they are able to get his arm back in. And he's like, oh, thank God.
And he could have gone again. Yeah,
I would imagine so. I don't know much about like dislocated shoulders or anything like that, but it seems like once it pops back in, everything is relatively fine. Maybe you probably wouldn't want to aggravate it again so soon, but
for
still.
The chance at $1 million.
Yeah,
you would probably give it a try.
But man, this whole thing just felt off to me, like right from the beginning.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but it makes sense. Honestly, like I wasn't even worried that there wasn't a package because we also still had Drew and Jesse to go. But I felt like maybe they were saving Sean Bryan's package for stage two or whatever. I mean, this is also now that Sean and Najee are both out, I'm like, come on. I want some mystery about who's going to win.
Right.
Like, I don't want to, like, I want Drew to win, but I would like there to be some competition. And I honestly don't really want the kid to win. Like, so I don't know. I wanted these big names to stay in so that I had like a lot of horses in the race.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem that I have here is that like, okay, fine. You're telling us that somebody is going to win. Okay, at least I have like which one.
Yeah.
But that in combination with the events of what's happening, Najee gone, Sean gone, we'll talk about Joe.
Yeah.
Like you're really starting to narrow the field down for me here.
Yeah.
And not in a way that I'm enjoying.
No.
So
and it's a lot of people that you're feeling like it's going to be Drew. It's going to be a rando, not a rando, but you know, it's somebody that is like pretty new, like in the case of Isaac or Jeff, or it's going to be one of these young kids. And it's like, I don't know if this is like the most fun way to do this.
The thing that annoys me the most is that this is the perfect start to a victory, to a total victory, that it seems like, wow, like the field is really narrowing. This is looking dire. To have somebody unexpectedly rise out of those ashes would have been amazing. But instead, it's really just sort of taking the bite away and it's kind of smoothing out the whole experience, which not as fun.
Hey, it will ultimately be worth it if like a Ryan Stratus wins.
Yeah.
Or freaking like Lauren Ball. Like that'll be awesome.
So next up was Carsten Williams, who has failed on a different obstacle every year on stage one. He says he's a top ninja. Just something's always gone wrong. A lot of confidence, they say Carsten Williams has. And so he's going to take on the course here. He almost Najees himself on the tire of Tire Run, but manages to complete the course.
Yeah, you never want to be used as a verb. Yeah. An American Ninja Warrior.
He says, hey, I'm going all the way. Can't stop me.
All right. Do we think that this is some editing, some foreshadowing?
No, I think they're saying he has a lot of confidence.
Okay.
But you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Then we had Maddie Howard, who fell on the dismount of the Double Dipper. Akbar says, stupid Shana, nah.
Yeah. Oh, somebody asked us on Twitter what a shanana is because they're a new listener. That poor soul. Shanana is just something that Akbar says when somebody goes down and he's like all excited about it. And last year we were counting the shananas.
It's kind of one of those, like, when you learn a foreign language and you learn that they have, like, a word that means a lot of different things in English.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Akbar has a little bit of his own language, and Shanana is, like, a catch-all term for, like, disappointment, sympathy, excitement, you know, it's Shanana!
Yeah, shock as well, yeah. And this was a stupid Shanana.
Stupid Shanana. And then we got Anthony DeFranco, who almost fell on the cargo net, but managed to hook in with his leg, but then timed out. And then Dave Kavanaugh, who has the safety pass and did not have to use it. He completed the course.
Mm-hmm. It's still very highly technically attached to his shorts.
Yes. Then we got Drew Dreschel. I was like, oh, he's running real early.
Drew Dreschel part one.
Yeah. Sporting a beard.
Okay. We know that I love a beard. I don't know.
I was wondering if you would have this opinion.
I don't know if this suits him.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be grown out a little more.
Yeah.
It looks kind of drawn on his face.
Mm.
I also think that maybe he should try just a mustache.
There you go.
That would look good on him.
Lead a beard advice corner.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's growing it because he's like, I'm going to be a father now. I must look fatherly.
Yes. I must look wise.
I did laugh at the package of yes. them baby shopping and him rocking the cradle. Be like, how aggressive is too aggressive?
Yeah, we got like a whole package about them shopping at a baby store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I were April, like they cut to her when he falls. And I'm just thinking in her mind, like, oh, my God, I have been putting up with this job for so many years. And now that we finally really need the $1 million because we've got a baby coming, now he falls on stage one.
Yes. But very exciting for Drew and his wife,
girlfriend.
We'll, you know, hopefully not see more of what we saw on this first run. I will say again, Drew felt a bit off even on this first run. He took a lot of extra swings on spin your wheels. And then he ends up slipping in that Najee spot. This felt mostly Drew like. It felt good most of the time, but he did end up falling there on that spot. And, Akbar says to this one, I'm not going to lie. That right there was Shanana. Wow.
So many different inflections.
This is the first time he has ever fallen on stage one. As he gets out of the water, he rips off the safety pass. And this is exactly what I wanted the safety pass to be.
Yeah.
Just like for this particular circumstance.
Yeah, him and Flip.
Well, Flip, I wanted him to use it on stage two.
Well, yeah. But you think that Drew is not going to need it.
Drew is he's going to mess up on stage one, or like Drew can easily beat stage two, whereas Flip has a lot of trouble with stage two. I don't think he's ever beaten stage two. It's much more necessary for Flip in stage two than I think Drew just needs a safety pass for a fluke fall like this.
Yeah. Yep.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Next up was Alyssa Beard, and we get the reset that she hit the buzzer 2 years ago. We were there for it.
Yes, we were. It was very exciting. I cried. Nice.
Then she fell on the first obstacle last year, so she's here for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
She
yeah.
might have had it, but she is really slow on tire run. She's clearly very nervous about this obstacle. She gets to the tire. She jumps on it. And it starts to roll back. And so what you do here is she's running forward to stay up onto the top of the tire. But as she's running forward, she's running very quickly forward. And as it stops, it kind of jolts her backwards and it moves the other way. And Aqua's, oh, she was going forward, then backward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is actually good at maintaining her balance on it, but she literally catches her own foot when she's running. You can see in the slow-mo, she like trips over her own foot a little bit and that's it.
Yeah, there's a big jolt when the tire stops rolling. And that's actually going to almost get a few other people as well. But it does get Alyssa here, and that's going to be it for her season.
Absolutely no shame in going out at the same spot as Drew Dreschel and Najee Richardson.
Yes. Then we got Chad Flexington.
They made a really big deal out of Chad Flexington,
which was particularly insulting because it was right before the montage that Joe Moravsky was a part of.
Yeah.
We got a package for Chad Flexington, which was basically the same exact package we got the last time we saw Chad Flexington. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, fine. He's going to complete, like, we're wasting this time on him. He's going to complete the course, right. Whatever. But he doesn't. He kind of, you know, slams into the double dipper dismount, loses his mullet. He's got a personality bigger than Hulk Hogan.
Okay. I mean, it seems like he has the same personality as Hulk Hogan.
And like, look, I don't know Chad Flexington personally.
You don't? I thought you guys got brunch on weekends.
But this was not a good spot to be. I did not like this because he's going to fail here. We're going to get into a montage starting with Verdale Benson, who goes out on the double dipper, and Akbar says, oh my goodness, right in the goody good.
Ew. I don't know what that means.
It also wasn't. Then Tyler Smith, who is the bug ninja, and he completes the course.
But Eric Middleton was the bug ninja.
No, he's the
entomologist
ninja or something. Then Joe Moravsky montaged. What the hell?
Hey, what did I say? Joe Moravsky's not winning this year.
I want to know what Joe Moravsky did to piss off the producers of this show, because that is clearly to me what's happening here.
Yeah. I also just quickly want to note that Chad Flexington inspired your favorite thing, which is a USA chant twice.
Oh, lovely.
So I think more incentive for you to not be on the Chad Flexington train.
It felt like it was on purpose that they put Chad Flexington with a big package that we had already seen before, right before Joe Moravsky, who was the last man standing two seasons ago, got montaged on stage one on a season where somebody wins. Like, you basically just told us it's not Joe.
Yeah, well, I already told you that.
You did. But but with Sean going out, I would have been like, okay, Joe's a huge contender at this point.
Yeah.
Not the case. He was definitely sort of, you know, glossed over in the qualifying rounds.
Definitely.
If anything, I think they enjoyed showing his runs those times without much fanfare because he failed and they got to point out that he failed. Joe didn't do it. First time not completing a qualifying course. He failed the city final course. Also, man, Joe just not on his game this season. Oh, and yeah, he completed stage one. Here he goes again. I'm sure we're going to see him fail whenever it happens. This is not a good look for me, for the people who run this show.
I don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe he's going to be a stuntman on Wonder Woman.
Maybe. But look, it's like Joe Moravsky is the kind of person that I watched the entire season to see in Vegas. Like, not seeing him run is like, what am I watching the show for at this point?
I guess. I mean, he's that big a deal to you?
He is, in my opinion, it's Drew, Joe, Najee, Sean, like those are the people. Sean's getting up there, and Najee is certainly getting up there, but Drew and Joe are like the top two ninjas in my view. They have been the last men standing the last couple of seasons running. So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. disappointing. And again, especially in the light of somebody's going to win. And so now without even him falling, He's out of contention. They're not going to do this if he won, I feel. Unless he really pissed them off and they really like just completely undersell it. But that's not what they're doing. They're hyping it up. So
no. Yeah. If they were promoting a winner, then they're going to be proud of that winner.
Yeah. So pretty annoying. Pretty annoying.
All right. I am not as upset by this as you are, but I respect your you've also been watching the show longer than I have.
Well, like imagine if they just montaged Drew.
Yeah, that's like, true. I don't know.
I feel like this is pretty close to that.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Next up was Jody Avila, the big dog ninja who has a secret to reveal. Finally, after all of these years, he's actually afraid of dogs.
Yeah. And we talked about how he looked not happy when Akbar gave him his nickname. And A, it's not a great nickname, so we just thought it was that. But also, he doesn't like dogs.
Who knew? We're finally full circle. We had the right read here.
It was really funny that like they actually had the security footage of him hiding from the dog.
I know they have the footage of him. He was bitten by a dog. He jumps into a truck and has to call his wife. How have we not seen this footage before?
I don't know.
How is this not like his main thing when he joined the show? Like, this is fantastic.
It's really good footage. I also really just wish that the story of him going to the dog shelter to like become not afraid of dogs anymore ended with him adopting a dog. I think that's the next step.
Yeah. So he goes to the shelter to get over his fear of dogs. I will say also, though, his wife. She was like, he's a big guy. He shouldn't be afraid of dog. Like, he was bit by a dog. Like, give him a break. Just because he's a big guy, he's not going to be a... Dogs can do some major damage.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just being bit by one dog doesn't mean you have to be afraid of all dogs.
Okay. That's...
I've been scratched by a cat before. I'm not afraid of cats.
You've been scratched by a cat before.
Yeah. What? He clearly wasn't that injured. He didn't have to go to the hospital.
Look, dogs can kill you. They can. It's perfectly reasonable to be afraid of dogs. And just because you're a big guy doesn't mean that you're any less capable of being killed by a dog. And I would be like if my you know future wife was like get over yourself, you got bit by a dog.
That's not what she was saying. She was being funny. He was like, he's a big guy. He shouldn't be jumping in the back of his truck like a baby. It was funny. Also, his wife famously is like 5'2". So I just wanted to see them next to each other. But no, I mean, listen, I'm afraid of everything. You can be afraid of whatever you want. But I would encourage you to not be afraid of dogs because dogs are great.
Yes. Well, it's good that he is trying to not be afraid of dogs.
Yes.
But there's no shame in being afraid of dogs either.
Yes.
Even if you are a big man named the Big Dog Ninja.
Yes. Well, especially if your name is the Big Dog Ninja, I feel like you it's good for him to work on that.
Well,
fear.
He didn't choose it.
That's true. But he can't get rid of it now.
So he actually handles the double dipper really well. This is again what I was talking about earlier with the Birkinator, that that he was able to sort of bring the bar down onto the track even though it was going off the track. So he does that really well. He gets to tire run and the tire spins, he gets Najee'd. He reaches out, he gets one hand on the wheel, but because he's so tall, but he is not able to hold on and he goes down.
Yeah, very sad for the Big Dog Ninja, but I'm very glad that we got this package.
Yes. Next up was Ethan Swanson, who was very fast, very smooth through the course. Really just not much to critique here. I loved his technique on tire run. He probably handled it the best of anyone that I saw. Because there were plenty of people that did it really smoothly, but I felt like that was risky. That's what Najee tried to do. But sometimes if you're not perfect on it, you know, it's gonna kind of roll either behind you or in front of you. And at that point, it's basically like a balance obstacle, only you're in less control of where you land because you're spinning, you're, you know, dismounting from a wheel that's kind of hard to get a good, it wobbles. So it's hard to like really get a good sense of, you know, what your jump is going to be. What Ethan Swanson did was he kind of like landed on it, like felt where he stood on it, did a little hop and then kind of jumped from there to make sure that he was stable before he made the jump. And I felt like that was a good way to do it.
Yeah. But, you know, Ethan Swanson, he laughs in the face of risks and danger because he what jumps off of buildings.
There you go.
And they won't let us forget it.
There you go. So he managed to beat Daniel Gill's time by 1 second, which does in fact mean that they intentionally gave Daniel that that fastest slot in the first episode.
He was the third fastest overall.
Yep. So important to note.
Yep.
Next up was Alex Blick, who went to school on the course, completed it.
Okay. Is he like a teacher?
Like a student.
A student. Okay.
Then Josh Salinas, who was wearing a like shirt with like a blinking heart, like Iron Man, was doing Iron Man poses the whole time.
Oh, okay. He's like the Iron Ninja.
I don't know either.
Maybe he just really likes Iron Man. I personally don't.
You don't like Iron Man?
No. I don't like Robert Downey Jr. I don't like the character of Tony Stark. I've obviously never seen Avengers or Iron Man, but he is in the beginning. He's in the beginning of that one Spider-Man movie that was really boring, Homecoming.
Oh, wow. You really hot takes the left and right. You also didn't like Homecoming.
No, but I finally saw Into the Spider-Verse.
That was a very good one.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it. I liked it more than most other superhero movies. I still didn't like it as much as the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
But I thought it was nice. I thought it was fun. There's so many celebrities in it. Anyway, Iron Man is in a Spider-Man movie that I have seen, and I found him annoying. I hate Robert Downey Jr. Hate him.
All right. So I guess Josh Salinas does not have Lita support by proxy of Iron Man, and then proxy of Robert Downey Jr. and not liking Spider-Man movies. And so
no, I like Spider-Man movies. Fine. The only superhero movies I do like are Spider-Man movies.
Okay.
I just thought Homecoming was really boring, but I've heard that Far From Home, the next one, is that the next one with Zendaya? I've heard that I will like that one more, so I'm going to watch that one.
I mean, if you didn't like the first one, honestly, they're not that different.
Yeah, but Zendaya is in the other one more. I've heard that the second one has more romance. There was no romance in Homecoming.
She is pretty great.
Yeah.
So
I didn't like that there was a lot of action and no romance.
Yeah. Then, yeah, you'd probably enjoy this one more.
Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse, probably my favorite Spider-Man movie.
I think that's what everybody says.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, very fun. I'm glad that Kathryn Hahn has relevance to millennials. Okay. She plays Dr. Octavia.
So Josh Salinas, he seems to have fun with the run here. He really doing lots of like superhero poses throughout the run. He completes the course. Then we got Hunter Gerard, who almost fell victim to the same sort of bouncing on the tire that Alyssa did, but he managed to recover. Again, he was kind of like running on it, and then it bounces back as it stops. And but he managed to stay on, and he will complete the course, as will Tyler Gillette.
Yeah. And for those who don't remember, Hunter Gerard is the lizard ninja who almost got the safety pass.
Yes. Then we get to Grant McCartney, who comes out in jean shorts. And this was great because I was like, this feels like style over function here, Grant. And then Akbar literally says, I don't know about those jorts.
Yeah. Akbar is the voice of the people. He's saying what we're all thinking.
He loses a lot of time on spin your wheels. And then he gets to the jumping spider. And Akbar says, I hope those jorts have some stretch to them. Those got to be some stretchy jorts.
Yeah, thankfully they do. Or he's just really tall, so he doesn't really need to stretch.
Yeah. Then he gets to tire run, and Hawkins like, gotta keep those feet nice and hot.
Yeah, I miss his dad, Grant's dad. Where's he been?
He's been on the sidelines.
Yeah, but I need more interviews with him. We got one amazing quote from him.
Here's the problem, is that Grant's dad wants him to eat a lot. And Grant is going to explain that there was a lot of candy that he didn't eat in his interview. And so I feel like maybe his dad is trying to get him to eat all things. And Grant's like, no, not the candy.
His dad is sabotaging him.
I will bulk up for this season, but not with candy.
That sounds like a great way to bulk up.
He barely holds on to the tire, barely grabs the wall, but he is going to complete the course and jump off of the stage one tower there into the water.
Yeah, and then Zuri's like, oh, you topped it all with the cannonball. That wasn't a cannonball.
No, it was like he grabbed his crotch.
Yeah, for some reason.
And then let go. Like, it wasn't protective.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it was a dance move.
Yeah, an ode to Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yikes. Then we got to Jeff Harris, the Waste Warrior.
Yeah.
In a big trash outfit.
Yes, I liked his garbage cape.
Yeah. Well, he got dumped by the Double Dipper.
No, but we love recycling.
He's not trash talking this course.
Wait, there were two of them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I guess it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Pretty low hanging fruit.
Then we had Ben Wales, who was the only walk on to make stage two. He completed the course.
Good for him. I don't remember anything about him.
Well, he's now the prince of the walk-ons, I believe they said.
Oh, because the king was Dave Kavanaugh?
Probably.
Got it.
Michael Torres is next. He was wearing jeans and had his safety pass on them.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have to use it because he completed the course.
Yeah, he's really very, very good. And I hadn't really thought about him before this year.
But he got montaged, so.
So what are you going to do? Yeah.
Then we got to Jessie Graf. She was talking about how she has completed the course, and she was like, 3 years ago. And I was like, it's not 3 years ago. Oh my God, it was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we were podcasting about it. Mm-hmm. What was this, season 8?
Mm-hmm.
Season 9? Yeah. It was our first year podcasting about it, I think.
Maybe.
I remember being in a hotel room.
Yeah, season 7 is when they won.
Yeah, I remember being in a hotel room somewhere and crying really hard, but I don't remember where.
Yes, she talks about how she missed last year for Wonder Woman, and she is super excited to be back and all that stuff.
Is Wonder Woman 1984 the full title of the original Wonder Woman movie?
No, I think it's the new one.
Oh, okay, because they kept calling it Wonder Woman 1984, but it's not out yet, and I thought that she was filming for the Wonder Woman that came out last summer.
No, yeah, it's currently release date is in 2020, June of 2020. Wow, it's long post-production there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I thought it was so weird. But all right, that's fun. Is it like dystopian?
Dystopian?
Yeah, because it's 1984.
Oh, I don't think so. It's a prequel to the previous one.
It's not like Big Brother. Will Orwell the Owl be there?
Well, you can only hope.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's more, you know, beating people up than like commenting on society.
I don't know. There's some violence in 1984.
Yeah, but that's a little more commenting on society than beating people up, I think.
Yeah, but the rats beat up his face. Spoiler alert. When he has to wear the rat mask.
Man, we're spoiling so many things in this podcast.
Yeah, okay. If you ever read 1984 by George Orwell, spoiler alert, you've only had many years to read it.
All right. Well, Jessie is going to take on this course. She does get hung up on spin your wheels quite a bit there, and then spends a lot of time setting up on the Double Dipper, and that's going to be it. She, in the transfer to the second bar on the Double Dipper, it looks like she held on to the first bar a little too long. And that is, I think, what caused her to ultimately whiff as she goes to grab the next bar. I loved how she said.
Yes, I was going to bring this up.
Normally, I'm really good at grabbing bars with a switch grip, like as I'm flying through the air. But for whatever reason, I missed this one.
I have that on my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's one of my special skills, grabbing a bar with a switch grip while flying through the air. Only somebody like Jessie Graf would be able to differentiate her skills.
And like she's totally serious about it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a joke. And not only is she serious about it, but like, I take her seriously.
I completely
believe her as well.
Yeah. I'm sure that this is something that is within her skill set.
Yeah. My thought was that we saw a lot of the competitors fail the Double Dipper on kind of fluky things like this last year. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't there last year. We saw a lot of them kind of correct their mistakes, and a lot of them managed to get through it this year. I wonder if it is having missed that opportunity to either fail on it or at least have some of that experience on it that ultimately cost Jessie here in the same way that somebody like Joe failed it last year.
Yeah, because it's not even that she didn't get to try it before. She couldn't even be there to observe it.
Yeah.
She wasn't even on the sidelines. So. Yeah, that's completely reasonable.
Yeah. So that's going to be it for Jessie Graf this season.
We still
season.
Love you, Jessie.
No female finishers of stage one.
Great. Again. Love it.
It's so it just fun. Still feels like It still feels like there should be, that there certainly could have been, but just once again, didn't happen.
We didn't talk about this at the top, but did you like them trying to pay Sandy Zimmerman some of her some of her dues at the beginning? They were like, here to show us an obstacle is the first mother up the warped wall, Sandy Zimmerman, because she should have freaking qualified.
Well, they did kind of correct. They said that she was the first mother to hit a buzzer.
Okay, whatever. I don't care about that. But I just mean that they realized that it was because of some fluky rule that she didn't qualify.
Yeah. So there you go. Then we get to Drew Jeschel part two. And I was like, all right, here we go. Final run of the episode. They're like, after Drew will be the kid.
Damn
okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. The kid's going after Drew. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's telling. We'll say that.
Yeah. So Drew, he's going to take on the course once again. His girlfriend is just losing it on the sidelines as he goes on tire run. She's just like, oh my God. But he gets through tire run cleanly. He does complete the course, not happy about it. Like, why couldn't I have just done that the first time? And I will say, this one in particular, really, it felt off to me. The whole run just didn't feel like classic Drew. Like, he was doing fine, but it was a little less like sure of himself, a little less smooth than I'm used to seeing from Drew.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not surprising that he's a little shaken.
Well, I wonder if it's because he's shaken or if there's just something a little bit off this season, which is why he might have fallen in the first place. I'm interested to see him on stage two. Obviously, he's got to be the front runner to win the whole thing right now.
Yeah.
But you never know. And he definitely felt a little bit off here, especially on this second run.
Yeah. And he's going through a huge lifestyle change in his life. I wouldn't be surprised if it impacted his training or his emotional state. When something is introduced to your life, that's perhaps bigger than Ninja.
Yeah.
That's gotta have an impact.
Yeah. So we'll see, because then we get to Matisse, the kid Awadi. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to, as they did this package, because they even did like the big montage of like coming up on American Ninja Warrior. We've got lots of fun things, and like it all kind of built into the kids' run. And I was just like, should I just accept this? Should I try to like just buy into the hype here? And ultimately, my conclusion was, if he would just cut his hair, I feel like I could get into this.
I don't even think it's that. It's legitimately nothing against the kid.
Yeah.
I think that he seems great. It's just that if we are going to have a winner, and we've said this before, it seems a little unsatisfying that it is someone so young that has so much time ahead of him.
Well, so here's my logic on this. I think his hair makes him look younger than he actually is. Granted, he's still very young.
He's 20.
But I feel like if he cut his hair, he would look older. And it would be easier to just be like, okay, fine. We're good.
We're just going to pretend that he's an older veteran.
Cause like, you don't, he's like, he still looks like a teenager, even though he is now in his 20s. You don't want to see a teenager win $1 million.
Yeah. I don't want to see a 20-year-old win $1 million either. I'm deeply concerned by this because, the 21-year-olds that we have seen win Survivor, Sophie Clark excluded, their lives have not turned out very well.
Well, I'll say this, I think American Ninja Warriors have a big leg up on Survivor players in the sense that they're already living like healthy lifestyles and are probably more responsible and have lots of good people surrounding them.
I just hope that his parents are ready to claim responsibility for that $1 million for a couple more years.
Yeah. But of course, in this case, Akbar not with me. Akbar during the kids' run says, hat always backwards, looking cool, gold chain. He is the epitome of cool.
I don't think a 20-year-old will ever be the epitome of cool.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I like him. He seems fine. I do think that they are just really setting up this Daniel Gill versus the kid thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously he's got the safety pass. He will not have to use it, though he does really scare Akbar on tire entire run as he has to make a one-handed save. Basically what Jody Avila tried to do, but failed. He almost nodges himself, but manages to save it with one hand. And Aqua says, "Don't you scare me like that, young boy!"
Yeah. Yeah. Also calling him young boy, not helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I'm just frustrated that, like, I think that if I just started watching the show now, or if he wasn't like hyped up in the way that he was, I feel like he would be one of my favorite ninjas. Like I love the idea that he has been somebody who was training for a long time before he was even able to compete. He was a big fan, and like now he's here and he's you know, really killing it. And like, that's kind of what we've seen in Sasuke, is that like the people who consistently do well, the course is balanced kind of to them. And so it's hard for them to win because they're constantly, anytime they do slightly better, the course gets slightly harder. Yeah. And so it's like a little bit back and forth like that. It's kind of the newcomers that can come in and really just like have an entirely different skill set or an entirely different standard for competing that have the best chance to win. And then the course gets balanced to them at that point, and things start to change. And so.
And this show is like a show that is geared towards a lot of younger people. Mm-hmm. So when they can see somebody who is like not that far off from their age, it's more of an inspiration to them.
Yeah. And so I could absolutely see myself being like a huge The Kid fan.
You're going to be a kid stan?
Yes. I hate how he is sort of marketed on the show. And again, I would be much more excited about this if it wasn't like, who's gonna be the winner?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, it's like super hyped up, and it's just like, I want to be excited if he's the winner. I don't want to feel like you're pushing this down my throat here.
It also fosters the thing that we love the most about American Ninja Warrior, I think, is that at its core, it's not a competition between ninjas. Mm-hmm. But when we know there's going to be one winner, it makes it a competition in our heads.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, there could be more than one.
I really doubt it.
Yeah, me too. all right. So he is going to get the fastest time of the night by about 10 seconds. He will keep that safety pass. I think that we will likely see him on stage 3.
Yeah. So is the kid big in climbing? What's his thing? What's his background?
I mean, he seems to be more of like an all-rounder. Like, he is somebody he's not really a climber. He's not really like a parkour guy.
He's like a ninja
guy. Yeah. I don't really know what it will be like to see him on stage 3. I don't remember if he's ever been on it like in an all-star or a skills thing.
Oh, I don't think so.
I feel like he was on the team for USA versus the World.
I don't remember him having success on stage 3 at the very least.
Yeah. Let me just see here. Yes, he was on Team USA. And he, let's see. Did he run stage 3? I don't remember. So I don't think he took on stage 3, but I can't be 100% sure. But either way, be interested to see him if he is able to get there, if he is able to do that. I could definitely see the kid as a potential winner here.
Oh, definitely. He's in contention.
Yeah. I think we're right now, you know, we lost Joe. We lost Sean. Najee's out. Starting to look like probably Drew, Daniel Gill, the kid. Maybe Adam Rail has a chance.
I don't think they've been highlighting him enough. You know, not to read the edit on this completely, but I also am going to throw Ethan Swanson in there.
Ethan Swanson, yeah, he's been having a good season.
And I still think Ryan Stratus has a shot.
Ryan Stratus in there as a dark horse, yeah. So, you know, we'll keep track of this as we head into stage 2. I imagine by the end of stage 2, we will have a very good idea of who's going to take it down, because the field will be narrowed considerably, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm so excited for stage 2.
Yes.
It's probably my favorite week of Ninja, because stage 3 has so much of like, all right, like, I guess nobody's winning. But we've got two more episodes left, which is unusual.
Full episode for stage two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very exciting.
Yes. All right. So that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I apologize for being so down on the episode, but I was annoyed.
Yes, I know. We hope that Sean Bryant has made a full recovery.
Yes.
And we'll be back next year. Always a bummer to have an injury take somebody out. Mm-hmm. I do have a review on a positive note. This is from Nikki Philly. And who we love. And this says best ninja podcast, 5 stars. When Lita and Taryn first started doing this podcast years ago, I had never heard of Ninja Warrior before. Now I enjoy the show, but sometimes skip a week. But I will never skip a week of this podcast because it's just such a fun and sometimes wild ride.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
We will also never skip a week, even if it means that we have to do 2 weeks in one episode.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we have for you. Thank you again for joining us. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Lita, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. And they can find my writing on LitaWrote.wordpress.com.
There you go. So we will be back next week for stage two. Just one episode away from the finale. 2 weeks.
Total victory.
Yeah. Man, it's exciting.
Yes, you seemed completely out of your mind with excitement.
All right, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask. Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
American Ninja Warrior Song.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.